This BBC podcast is supported by ads outside the UK.
The UK's digital tech scene is accelerating, and the proof is in the Unicorn Kingdom Pathfinder Awards. This year, we celebrate the next generation of pioneering startups that are shaping the tech landscape of tomorrow. The UK is a thriving ecosystem with access to global talent, cutting-edge research, and unparalleled investment opportunities. Your big idea belongs here. Visit great.gov.uk/UKPA to learn more.
An Bord erwarten Sie Bars, Spa-Duschen sowie preisgekrönte Bordunterhaltung. Es ist also kein Wunder, dass Emirates als beste Fluggesellschaft der Welt ausgezeichnet wurde. Wir fliegen Sie zu über 140 Reisezielen. Und mit unseren Interline-Partnern weltweit bieten wir Ihnen Anschlussflüge zu weiteren 1700 Städten auf 6 Kontinenten. Wenn wir behaupten, dass wir eine der größten internationalen Fluggesellschaften sind, meinen wir, wir bringen Sie an Ihr Wunschziel. Jetzt buchen auf emirates.de. Fly Emirates, fly better.
Hello and welcome to World Business Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Sam Fenwick. Coming up today, we'll be visiting Germany, Canada and Mozambique, where a new president has been sworn in. We'll be talking to business owners navigating the challenges of import taxes.
Most of our inputs as a dairy farmer are domestic, but there's 1,000 other little products and things like that that to keep our business running and to keep our households running that we are purchasing from the States.
And looking at how Germany's major exporters are dealing with a slowdown in sales and increased costs also today.
We are not in favour of pineapple on pizza, no. But obviously, if people are that way inclined, then they can fork out 100 quid for it.
The restaurant owner that added a hefty price tag for their Hawaiian pizzas to try and discourage customers from ordering them. But first, let's head to Mozambique, where today, Wednesday, a new president has been sworn in.
Daniel Francisco Chapo, investido no cargo de Presidente da República de Moçambique.
The inauguration of Daniel Chapo from the ruling Frelimo party follows months of unrest that claimed nearly 300 lives, according to the election observer group Plataforma Decide. The opposition party have disputed the election result, claiming that it's been rigged. But as you can hear, the party supporters staged a protest outside the venue of the inauguration, chanting the name of the opposition leader. Many communities are still grappling with the aftermath of the protests. As you can imagine, the demonstrations have disrupted businesses and livelihoods. Manuel de Araujo is the mayor of Kelemen City, and he spoke to the BBC earlier about the impact on his community.
Most of the vegetables and foodstuff that are consumed in Kelemen City, they come either from the interland, I mean other countries such as Malawi, but also from other provinces. The immediate effect was the rising of prices and, of course, creating a kind of inflation in not only in my city, but also in Zambezia province and in Mozambique. And also it was announced by the Confederation of Trade Industries, which is the main spokesperson organization, that more than 12,000 jobs have been lost nationwide. But in my city, I can mention about 3,000 jobs. Also, the tourism sector was very badly affected. Like only one third of all the bookings for the peak season, which is the Christmas and New Year's Eve, showed up.
The mayor there of Kelemen City. Well, could a new president bring some stability for businesses? I spoke to a business owner about this. He wants to remain anonymous due to concerns about the financial repercussions of speaking out.
We do transportation for public and, of course, the reputation of our company. And, of course, there might be people that might be interested in knowing more about what we've discussed. And that might not put me in a comfortable situation, yeah.
I understand. Can you explain to us the challenges that you faced in the run-up to the election and how difficult it's been running a business in this situation?
The business has been facing a lot of challenge for the past 3 months. But since the communication for lockdown, that the country must go on lockdown, those are the things that, of course, were announced by Venancio Mondlane, that the business must be closed, nobody should be on the road. Those are the things that give us direct impact, because I work on the transport sector. So on the past 3 months, we haven't been able to operate properly. We have reduced our operations by around 90%. But now that new government is going to take place, we hope that there are security conditions for us to operate.
Because not only have there been curfews, but there have been roadblocks as well, haven't there? And fuel shortages.
Yes, the fuel shortage is not a case at this point in time. What we do see is, of course, the road blockage. That's been the major problem. The other things that used to happen, like strikes and stuff like that, it has reduced a lot. Seems like the feeling that we have currently, let's put it that way, in January, is that there are conditions for us to continue working, although this fear of this strikes coming again. But we do believe that it's going to be different from what we've seen in December.
The protests over the past few months have been about the political situation in the country. But as a business person, you can see very clearly the impact that they've had on you.
Sure. It is frustrating, taking into consideration that at this point in time, the country is not performing well in terms of economics. Infrastructure and all that is not working properly. And this crisis is just taking an extra mile in terms of concerns for the business people. We do see, and I hope doesn't happen, but we do see a lot of people thinking about closing the business if the situation continues, and that worries out a lot.
Are you confident about the new administration? Do you feel that they might be able to bring some stability?
I do think it's going to bring some stability as long as they open the doors to discuss, and as long as the international community also take place on this discussion to support both parties in having a conversation and come up with an agreement. If it's the reform or whatever the case might be, there's a room for discussion, and that's the message that's being sent to us.
Do you feel buoyed by anything that he spoke about when he was inaugurated?
Yes, 100%. So basically, in terms of what he said, the main things that he's going to touch down is, of course, the reduction in terms of ministries, and also in terms of he's going to look at all those things that have been granted on the previous government as a benefits for the ministries and other sectors. He's going to put that on freeze until he restructures the government. And decides, of course, all those resources must be allocated for the people in need or for the sectors in need.
We're sitting here today and we're talking to you. You're nervous about us using your name and the details of your business, which doesn't bode well, really, does it, as the new administration comes in?
Well, we don't know what's going to be the outcome on the next days regarding this. But what we've seen, of course, traditionally in our country, the freedom of speech is not so well respected. That's the only concern I have, unfortunately. But formally, the new president has taken place this afternoon, a few hours ago. But there's no celebration. There's nothing. We're still in lockdown. We're just watching everything from social media. We're looking forward to better days.
That was a Mozambique business owner speaking to me a little bit earlier on. I'm going to head to Germany now because its economy is facing a challenging period, with 2024 marking the second consecutive year of contraction. Political uncertainty and global economic pressures have significantly contributed to this decline, affecting various sectors from manufacturing to exports. Now, one of the key areas for the economy is the car industry. It contributes roughly 4% directly to German GDP. That's research according to Goldman Sachs. Overall, that could be as twice as much. To shed some light on the current state of the car industry, let's talk to Simon Schutz. He's from the German Association of the Automotive Industry, the VDA. Thanks for coming on, Simon. First of all, the industry is struggling, isn't it, because of competition from China. So what are you doing to try and sort that out?
Hi, and thanks for having me on the show. Yes, I think it's a little bit more than China. It's a mixture of a lot of global challenges. You got to see itself that the industry is in the middle of this big transformation to electric mobility, but also to digitalization. And within that, we have big competitors coming up, as you just mentioned, in China. At the same time, we can be self-confident. Still, we sell 100 times more cars in China than China, for example, as in Germany. But the general thing is that not only looking at Germany, but overall, in Europe, the location side and the competitiveness here has really suffered in the last years, I would even say decades. We have focused a lot, especially in Europe, but also Germany, on the transformation towards climate neutrality, but we made it in a way that the industry suffers. So I think the exercise or the job for the politicians is now to bring that back together again and to make wealth and climate neutrality possible together with the industry, not against the industry. And I think that was the case in the last years, and that's one of the factors that the car industry is suffering from.
What is the industry doing in particular to try and redress this balance?
Well, I think what we are doing is doing massive investments in everything concerning electric mobility, but also concerning the digitalization, because that is the transformation as big as the one towards electric mobility. The thing is that all of these investments are more and more going abroad, because looking at energy prices, looking at bureaucracy in Europe, looking at all those things slowing us down, companies are more and more investing elsewhere in the world, because it's easier there to grow and to bring products and export them worldwide. So I think it's really important that Europe, but Germany as well, with the new government coming up, is focusing and on this location side and on the competitiveness. Because if we don't work on this, Europe will lose a major factor for its economic power, and that will also lose Europe's relevance in this world, on the world stage, when Europe's voice is needed more than ever.
I want to talk to you about the car industry supply chain, because those are also your members as well. They have much tighter margins, don't they, than the big car companies, which could possibly weather a bit of this. But they're going to these smaller companies are going to struggle more, aren't they?
They are extremely suffering out of a few reasons. As you just mentioned, of course, they're smaller, so everything hits them a little bit bigger. And then, you know, they are also transforming. So they are, let's say, they used to buy parts for the fossil engine car, and now they are building something for the electric car. And now that we have this lack in the on the selling for the electric cars, of course they suffer a lot, because they are already doing what they are supposed to do, transforming themselves. And on top of that, we have laws in Europe, like the taxonomy laws, that makes it harder for them to get money from banks doing those investments in the future, because, for example, they still rely to a certain extent on building parts for a fossil fuel car. So
I just wanted to ask you, just before we go, because we're running out of time here, what do you predict for this year, 2025? Is it going to get worse or better?
I think it's going to get better, but it's still not good enough. And we have a lot of geopolitical challenges ahead. You know, on Monday, President Donald Trump's going to be in charge. So we do not know what's coming there. China is still in question. I know the numbers will be better this year, but if they really should be there where they have to be, political changes are really necessary. We are a very strong industry. We have the innovations, but to bring them really on the street, the locations that must be accordingly ready for transformation.
Simon Schutz from the VDA, which represents German car makers and their supply chain. Thank you for joining.
An Bord erwarten Sie Bars, Spa-Duschen sowie preisgekrönte Bordunterhaltung. Es ist also kein Wunder, dass Emirates als beste Fluggesellschaft der Welt ausgezeichnet wurde. Wir fliegen Sie zu über 140 Reisezielen. Und mit unseren Interline-Partnern weltweit bieten wir Ihnen Anschlussflüge zu weiteren 1700 Städten auf 6 Kontinenten. Wenn wir behaupten, dass wir eine der größten internationalen Fluggesellschaften sind, meinen wir, wir bringen Sie an Ihr Wunschziel. Jetzt buchen auf emirates.de. Fly Emirates, fly better. One and
one is two. Of het nu gaat om wereldnieuws of een verhaal van om de hoek. Wat ons raakt, dat willen we delen. Daarom brengen we bij het AD verhalen die het delen waard zijn. Omdat ze raken, ontroeren of precies uitleggen hoe het zit. Samen delen we het AD. Lees het AD nu tijdelijk vanaf 1 euro per week. Stopt vanzelf. Ga naar ad.nl/kiosk.
Joining us. This is World Business Report from the BBC World Service with me, Sam Fenwick. Now, In case you hadn't heard, Donald Trump will become the 47th president of the United States on Monday. And as part of our coverage, we would like to hear from you about how you think things might change in the next 4 years where you live. We'd like you to send us a voice note from wherever you are in the world. The WhatsApp number is +44 330 678 3033. And I'll give you that number again at the end of the show. So go and get a pen or write it in your phone. Maybe you live in Canada. President-elect Donald Trump has threatened 25% tariffs on Canadian imports. This threat in part led to the resignation of the Canadian President, Prime Minister Trudeau, last week. So how are some key sectors like agriculture and car part manufacturers preparing themselves for the next 4 years? The BBC's Sam Gruet has been finding out.
So we're milking the cows 3 times a day. This is the second time we've milked all these cows today. The first time was at 4 o'clock this morning.
Although 700 kilometres from Washington, D.C., the decisions made in the U.S. capital have a direct impact here on those like third-generation dairy farmer Ben Loweth, who runs Summit Dairy.
So how many cows have we got in here?
There's 32 cows that we milk at a time, 16 on each side. But in total, we're milking about 480 cows 3 times a day.
Canadian dairy is a protected industry with a quota system on how much farmers can produce and heavy tariffs on foreign imports. But talk of new tariffs still concerns Ben.
It'll affect us the same way as it'll affect every other business in Canada. Most of our inputs as a dairy farmer are domestic. The feeds that we're feeding, a lot of the equipment is coming from Europe as opposed to the States. But there's 1,000 other little products and things like that, that to keep our business running and to keep our households running, that we are purchasing from the States.
Tariffs are a central part of the president-elect's economic vision. He sees them as a way of growing the US economy, protecting jobs and raising tax revenue.
I'm a big believer in tariffs. I think tariffs are the most beautiful word. I think it's going to make us rich.
Dairy isn't the only industry impacted too. Trump has also mentioned Canadian car manufacturing.
We don't need their dairy products. We have more than they have. We don't need their cars. You know, they make 20% of our cars. We don't need that. I'd rather make them in Detroit.
Hi, Flavio.
Flavio Volpe, president of Canada's Automotive Parts Manufacturers Association, strongly disagrees.
The reality is that of those 2 million cars a year that are made here, about 1.6 million get exported to the U.S. More than half of those are American cars, General Motors, Ford, Chrysler, Dodge.
Sitting down in his Toronto office, he's trying to understand what the president hopes to achieve with the proposed tariffs.
He is talking to a constituency in the U.S. that really wants to see Made in America become literal. But he threatens tariffs and he says Canada will pay. Well, Canada isn't a corporate entity and it actually isn't an individual person's account. In actual fact, American consumers will pay that. So the cost of a pickup truck will go from $60,000 to $75,000.
Despite concern about the consequences of incoming tariffs, some Canadians are more willing to listen.
His latest comments that he's made about annexing Canada, anyone who's ever watched him over the last 8-10 years knows that he likes to take these hard positions.
Including Georgianne Burke, who runs the Canadian chapter of Republicans Overseas and is a dual citizen.
I don't think he's actually interested in annexing Canada. I think he is interested in Canada being a strong, viable trading and defense partner, and that is what we should be focused on, rather than our hair being on fire over his comments.
With Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau stepping down and a general election on the horizon, many, including Flavio Volpe, are looking for stability.
So we're probably 6 months away from that stability. But, you know, that's where organizations like ours are doing that part, whatever it's worth, to push back in the public realm, that we will not be cowed, we will not be pushovers, but we also won't get too offended. You know, this is a fight in a marriage, and we're committed to it.
That was Sam Gruet reporting for us there. Well, Elon Musk has been in the news again, this time due to a lawsuit filed by the US Securities and Exchange Commission. The SEC alleges that Musk delayed disclosing his purchase of Twitter shares in 2022, and this allowed him to buy them at artificially low prices. Michelle Fleury, our BBC business correspondent in New York, has the latest on this and joins us now. So just what are the details of this case, Michelle?
So America's main regulator filed a lawsuit against Elon Musk yesterday, alleging that the billionaire committed securities fraud back in 2022. And this was because he didn't disclose that he had built up an active stake, a huge number of shares in Twitter, which later became renamed as X. And that secrecy, they allege, allowed him to buy shares at artificially low prices. Mm. Now, what happens in the United States is that if you build up a position in a company of more than 5%, you are required within a 10-day window to disclose this to regulators, to make it public. And he didn't do that. And so they say, well, had he done that, that might have pushed up the share price. So essentially, he was able to acquire more shares at a lower price. And they think that the sort of amount of money, the losses, amount to at least $150 million.
And has Mr. Musk given us any reaction to this? Has he published a statement?
I mean, ever since he bought Twitter, he has been engaged in a feud with the SEC and with its chairman, Gary Gensler, who will be leaving shortly as you've got this change of administration. There is no love lost between these two, so you won't be surprised to learn that Musk's lawyer has basically called this a sham. This goes back to, you know, public comments he's made when he was the owner of Tesla, talking at one point about maybe taking the company private. And again, the knock-on effect that had on shares. And that sort of started really this feud. And it seems it's going to carry on right up until the last hour, the last second of the Biden administration.
Thank you for that, Michelle. Some important economic data also released in the past couple of hours, US inflation data. What's it telling us about the overall health of the US economy?
So this is a complicated one. I mean, when it comes to cost of living, the news you could say is not great, but it is a move in the right direction. In December, consumer prices were up 2.9% compared to 2.7% in December. But the number that a lot of economists look at, so-called core inflation, which strips out volatile things like food and energy prices, although that was up in December from November, it actually rose less than analysts had expected. And so there are a couple of things to take away from this. For regular folk, you know, energy prices saw a huge jump last month. Egg prices shot up. The cost of all sorts of things continued to climb. So as Donald Trump takes office, inflation for most Americans, rising prices remains an issue. But it is moving in the right direction. And that core number is important because investors, the Federal Reserve, that's what they look at. And they see it as a sort of reason for optimism, for relief that maybe things are sort of starting to improve. But it does suggest that that last mile, as they say, in the battle against inflation to get it back down to the Fed's 2% target will be quite a tricky one. And of course, the backdrop against all of this is a new administration which has plans on tariffs and taxes that could also kind of potentially fuel inflation.
Michelle Fleury, our BBC business correspondent in New York. Thank you very much for that. Well, in contrast, inflation in the UK slowed a little in December to 2.5%. Joining us now is Ross Mould. He's investment director at AJ Bell. A tale of two halves then across the sea. What's caused the slowdown then in the UK compared with the US?
Well, the numbers are calculated in a slightly different way, Sam, so we always need to be a bit careful. But the UK, yeah, very welcome news. The good news came from slower increasing prices from alcohol and tobacco, clothing, restaurants, hotels, and actually transport ticket prices fell, which was a really helpful thing. Mm. The bad news came in telecommunications, but overall a helpful number. And after a wild panic recently in the cost of UK government borrowing, that's come down by a fifth of 1% today on the benchmark 10-year loan to the UK government. And that's basically wiped out the whole increase in the yields over the last week.
Should we take into account the fact that this was the month of December when people are spending quite a lot because it's the party season?
It's definitely got something to do with it. And I'm sure that, you know, clothing coming down was due to retailers discounting and transport tickets down, maybe in airlines, for example, because we've seen a difficult period for them in terms of capacity going up. So definitely something to do with that. But the Chancellor of the Exchequer and the Bank of England will like to see restaurant and hotels easing, that services, and that is definitely going to help inflation. Financial markets happy. They think the Bank of England now may get a chance to put through two 1/4 point decreases in interest rates this year, rather than one.
Well, the news comes after a recent increase in UK borrowing. That's hit a 16-year high, threatening to blow a hole in the government's plans to balance spending with tax cuts. Let's hear from a business now, Currys. It's a major electrical retailer in the UK, employing 24,000 people. It announced better than expected results today, Wednesday, but its CEO, Alex Baldock, says that it's tough for retailers after the government's recent tax and wage increases.
There are plenty of cost increases hitting retailers who employ large numbers of people. And as we said a few weeks ago, we think some of the government interventions have been quite unhelpful in that respect, in loading more costs onto an already overburdened sector. But, you know, if we have to run up a down escalator, so be it. We're quite used to that over the past few years. And we at Currys have shown with these strong results that we can do so.
Russ, how has the UK government's decisions, such as increasing payroll taxes and workplace regulations, contributed to investor concerns about the overall fiscal stability of the UK?
Very much so. We'll find the real impact coming through from April onwards. But there is a fear that companies will put up prices to compensate and that could feed through into inflation. But there are other issues here. Gathering government debt in the UK, but also, again, the inflation issue in America and government debt issue in America and government debt issue in Europe, they're all contributory factors. Investors have been looking at this, the amount that they charge governments to borrow, and deciding they want a higher interest rate to compensate for themselves for the risks, whether it's inflation, tariffs or economic growth.
And what do you think will happen next? What are the markets sort of expecting in the next, I don't know, it's too much to say 6 months maybe, but maybe the next 3 months?
Well, we have data coming out from the Office for Budget Responsibility here in late March, which will perhaps impact how the Chancellor has to view taxation and spending. If the markets continue to demand a higher interest rate from the government, the government may have to act and either spend less or tax more, even if it doesn't want to on either count. What the government's trying to do is get growth going, because that will generate more tax revenue and make the debt more manageable and make investors feel happy to accept a lower interest rate. So really, that's the government's master plan. They will say 6 months isn't long enough to judge us. Please give us more time.
OK, well, Russ Mould, stay with us, because I'm going to ask you a very tough question now. What do you think about pineapple on your pizza?
My Italian brother-in-law would go bananas. He'd be so unhappy. He'd be absolutely furious. No, terrible idea.
Well, listen to this, because one restaurant in the UK has decided that it was very offensive to put pineapple on a pizza. They've told their customers that they can order it. They won't ban it, but it'll charge them $120 if anyone is mad enough to order it.
It started off as a bit of a joke. We were going through our online menu and we thought we'd put up Hawaiian pizza for £100. This was a couple of weeks ago. And it got picked up by our local paper, which they thought it was news. And since then, it sort of snowballed from there, to be honest with you. We are not in favour of pineapple on pizza, no. But obviously, if people are that way inclined, then they can fork out £100 for it. I got accused earlier of being a pizza dictator, so I wouldn't like to fulfil that role. But we're allowed to have our opinion as much as the next place, and you know, we're sticking by it. I think our £100 price tag is a firm statement of which camp we belong to.
I take it then that pineapple on pizza did not originate in Italy, Ross?
I would assume not. No, my brother-in-law, who's from Florence, is very particular. He certainly doesn't do a pineapple on pizza, but he's also very fussy. He always tells me we can only drink beer with pizza and not wine, so he is very particular.
It's a good marketing trick, though, do you think?
For the pizzeria, there's only one worse thing than being talked about, and that's not being talked about. So I think in that respect, they will view it as very good publicity. Yes, absolutely.
And you're going to have to really, really like pineapple on your pizza to be willing to pay $120 for, I'd hope, a few more pieces than just one, wouldn't you?
Or find somebody else to sell it to you.
Russ Mould, thank you very much from AJ Bell. It's just a reminder at the end of the programme that we really want to hear from you as part of our business programmes for the BBC World Service as we build up to President Trump's inauguration. Please, will you send us a voice note on how you think it might affect you in your part of the world? The number, +44 330 678 3033.
An Bord erwarten Sie Bars, Spa-Duschen sowie preisgekrönte Bordunterhaltung. Es ist also kein Wunder, dass Emirates als beste Fluggesellschaft der Welt ausgezeichnet wurde. Wir fliegen Sie zu über 140 Reisezielen. Und mit unseren Interline-Partnern weltweit bieten wir Ihnen Anschlussflüge zu weiteren 1700 Städten auf 6 Kontinenten. Wenn wir behaupten, dass wir eine der größten internationalen Fluggesellschaften sind, meinen wir, wir bringen Sie an Ihr Wunschziel. Jetzt buchen auf emirates.de. Fly Emirates. Fly better.